this is Michael from Theme Park Brothers, and I would like to invite you to check out our YouTube channel. At Theme Park Brothers, we take you with us as we visit the Disney Parks, Universal Orlando, SeaWorld, Busch Gardens, and many other theme parks around the country. This summer, we took our viewers with us as we visited Canada for the first time. It brings us joy to share our experiences in hopes that it will inspire you and your family to get out and enjoy the parks. Our videos share our experiences in different ways. Some are walkthroughs with ambient sounds. In other episodes, we dive deep and have discussion. There is sure to be something for you at Theme Park Brothers. Head over and hit that subscribe button. Catch you on the flippity flop.
Hello, welcome to the WDW Review, and I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined by our co-host emeritus, Michael Black. Michael, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic this morning.
Outstanding. So, people hear your voice, and they know immediately we're going to be talking news today. So, we have a Walt Disney World, and today there's not much Disneyland news, but a Walt Disney World news show planned for everyone today. Before we start, you are listening to this in early November, so my question for you, like it was for Peter and Stacy, is, Michael, now that we're past Halloween, when is it acceptable for you to put up your Christmas decorations? Is it November the 1st? Is it the first weekend? Is it later? Is it Thanksgiving? What is your family tradition?
We normally decorate as soon as physically possible. Christina's birthday is November 1st. So, and she loves Christmas, and I love seeing Christmas lights and the Christmas decorations. So we will typically as close to November 1st as possible. We planned this weekend. We are decorating inside. Now we do have, I don't decorate for Christmas outside until after Thanksgiving. While I feel that I want to see it, I don't want to force that on other people, if that makes sense. So inside November 1st, as soon as it could be, and then outside the day after Thanksgiving.
Okay. When do you take decorations down? Is it late or is it right after Christmas?
We take them down usually the second.
Okay. So you get a good 2 months, you know, of decorations for sure.
Yeah. I've always been told it's bad luck to do it before New Year's Day. I had heard that, so maybe that was just me hearing that once and thinking, well, I can keep them up another week. I'm fine with that. But yeah, we don't take them down till January 2nd.
Well, we are very similar. Our intention is to put it up as soon as possible, but we take it down like the day after Christmas. Once Christmas is over, that's it. We're done. This will come across poorly, but we're tired of Christmas decorations at that point. We've been inundated and overwhelmed, and we're happy just to return some sanity and organization to the house, so they come down pretty quickly afterwards.
Isn't it interesting though that when you do take them down, how much space it seems you have in your house?
Right, it's that sigh of like, man, this room really is big. Yeah, of course, because you don't have a 9-foot Christmas tree in the corner. But anyways, we're here today to talk about some Disney news. We've got a full plate from things that are good, legitimate news stories to things that are really, I don't know if they should be news stories, but they certainly are hitting the internet. So why don't you lead us off here, partner, and tell us what you got, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, this is from some of the things, like you said, some of the things I've researched, some things I've just seen, and some things I just kind of wanted to discuss. The first thing that is the free unlimited swapping at the fuel rod kiosks to end next week this week, November 1st. And it will change to $3 per swap instead of the free unlimited. I know everybody's been talking about this, and I don't have a fuel rod. I didn't purchase it. I have my own battery packs that I take in and out with me. But I could see to where people would be frustrated that it has changed, but at the same time, I could see the point of changing it. So I'm kind of on the fence about this. I have my own fix of what I would do if I was the people that were selling these fuel rods. Do you want to hear that fix real quick before we discuss it?
Go on.
Okay. My fix would be, it's $3 per swap. They paid $30 with the intention of thinking it was going to be unlimited. I say give them 10 more free unlimited swaps to cover their $30, and then they're done. Either they can continue on with the $3 per swap or not. So basically, for the company, what that does is it just extends for those people who had originally purchased. You would have to give them a code. You'd have to know. I don't know how that would work. Okay. but I think that maybe that would have helped the situation. And then anyone who purchases moving forward has the understanding of the $3 swap. Okay. So what are your thoughts on it?
Well, let's first give some more information here. And you mentioned earlier there is some kind of signature gathering class action lawsuit in the works, correct?
Yes, just because of, I think, the misleading of letting people know that you purchased this and you're going to have unlimited. So that was kind of some misleading advertising and marketing to the consumer, okay. They're stating.
So we don't have fuel rods, so we don't actually know what was stated on when you got a fuel rod, if there was any kind of instructions, directions, or the right to remove this offer at any point. How do you want this? Do you want me to give you my politically correct answer or my full out, like real answer on this matter?
Why don't you go with full out? And then if you want to, in the end, amend it for those, and you can. But okay. I think we're always honest here, right?
Okay. So this is $30, right? Do you have a phone? You have a charger or a little battery bank that you carry with you, Michael?
Yeah. All yeah, right. Absolutely.
And how much did it cost you?
I think I got that clearance for $10 at Walmart, actually. Okay. But yeah, and it works great.
I got one, and mine was about $30. So did you really think that through the ending of time and your vacation that your $30 fuel rod would be free from A to Z? Did you really think that was going to happen? And it's $30. Why is this a story? And you wouldn't even think of me. When I read about like the class action lawsuit, I think to myself, like, dude, your life is like a cup. You choose what to fill like your cup with. Do you really want to be this invested in fuel rods now that they're charging you to actually pay $3? I see this everywhere. Go buy a battery bank. Go buy it from Amazon. Or, heck, keep the fuel rod that you have. I'm sure you can charge it. I'm sure you can charge it yourself. And, like, move on. Why is this a story? You paid $30. You know how fast people spend $30? This is not class action worthy. What are you going to receive from this at the end of the day? And I don't mean to get all, like, crazy on this, but, like, why is this a story? We have only so much time and effort in our lives that this is frustrating people and making them get legal action. So, yeah. Like I don't see it as a story. It is what it is. I mean, think about it logistically. It was a hook to get you involved, like the $5 footlong. Now it's a $6 footlong. Now it's the $3.99 6-inch sandwich at Subway. It was a limited promotion. How long have fuel rods been in existence? When did they start? Did the article tell you that, Michael?
I saw that there was an article that mentioned them starting, and that was 2016. Okay. So I'm guessing, what, a good 3 years?
3 years. So let's assume you've had at least one swap in the meantime. So your $30 fee really got you down to $15 per, like, you've made your money. And I know you're going to send back saying, well, this is not what we were promised. I get that, but things change. I mean, things change all the time in every circumstance in your life. All right. So let's move on with the story. No more of my time, no more of your time. Things just are what they are, and move along, pay the $3, do the class action lawsuit. This shouldn't even be a story. But legitimately, remember this, people. You only have so much space in your personal cup. Okay? Do you really want to fill it with stuff like this? Move along.
I agree. Speaking of cups, we had the same discussion when they had the drink refill cups, right? Oh, now this unlimited cup, now it's only for my stay. Now it's only for 3 days. Now I have to purchase it. It's chipped. yeah, people get bent out of shape. All right, we will move on.
But hang on, I'm sorry, one last thing. So, like, I don't mean to make light. I'm not trying to be snarky or sarcastic at people. I just think to myself, for your own personal sanity, if this really is bothering you, then, okay, get on with it. And you know, figure out what you need to do. But remember, the overall investment you had was $30. So let's bring a little bit of clarity and a little bit of rationale to this decision. If you want to sue Fuel Rod, I know they're charging for fuel rod swaps at the airport. They're like a dollar. And I know in California, they were still, as of like my knowledge, they were still free. Though that could, I mean, obviously that, be careful, because that's probably not going to stay free. But it's a practice. I mean, it's an accepted means. Think about like what they have to do. They have to pick up all the fuel rods, charge them, clean them up, bring them back. I mean, this wasn't going to be a permanent thing. And if you went into it naively thinking it was, then even if you were misled, in air quotes, come on now, people, you know, move along. So,
and let's get conspiracy theory here, Chris. You know that when you have a computer and you plug your phone into that computer to charge it, the computer could also take data from it, correct? Now you're taking this fuel rod that you've connected your phone to for how long to charge it, and you're returning it to these people? Wow. I don't know how much data they have on you. Okay, moving on.
All right. So anyways, and by the way, too, do you know the size of a fuel rod? How much can it hold? Like, is it three charges, two charges? I know milliamps and whatnot, but like, what is the average?
I have no earthly idea. I know mine is two.
Okay. So anyways, peoples, come on now. We need some real stuff here to worry about, not this, you know?
Worry about the data being stolen, not the free charges.
Again, we apologize. That just seems like a non-story to me. So let's talk about something that you can get for free. How's that sound?
Okay, yes. I've got some value here to pass on, at least to annual pass holders. From now until January 4th, if you go to Scat Cats, which is a bar inside of Port Orleans French Quarter Resort, you can get a free order of beignets with a specialty beverage purchase. So go get you a specialty drink. French Quarter is beautiful as it is. You can take in the live music there as well in the evening, and you'll get some free beignets.
Awesome. Everyone stands up in the internet and says, why not this? Why not this? Great. It's a great story. Go get yourself some deep fried goodness and be happy. I love it.
You know why? Because we just took 20 seconds on that story and 5 and 6 minutes on the other one. Okay.
Right? But hashtag deep fried goodness. And if you're listening, I want you guys to know those beignets, Michael Black, in a former life, in a former time, he was a beignet master. Correct?
I was, yes. I used to. They weren't Mickey beignets back then. They were just the pillow-shaped beignets. But yeah, that was a fun experience for me, honestly. And kind of that'll go into another story. How about this? We'll talk about the Disney look. Do you know what the Disney look is?
Is it anything like Roxette's 1990s, 80s song, The Look? Is it anything like that?
Yeah, yeah.
Tall Swedish women and no, nothing like that?
Well, they well-kept hair, but it might have been a little much for the Disney look. Anyway, the Disney look has been pretty much the rules that have told cast members what they could wear, how their hair should basically be done, the rules and restrictions to keep the cast members...
Tattoos and a public appearance, correct.
Right. And one of the things about that I had an issue with, as me being the hairy beast that I am, was the fact that the beard length, mustache length, whether you could have facial hair, all of that kind of came into play with me. And I'll tell you a little story here. This is a little, I don't know, insight into my days as a cast member. When I worked at French Quarter, when I was making those beignets, I used an attachment on my razor that kept my, at that time I had a goatee. So I had basically the mustache, little goatee thing going on. And the attachment that I used was perfectly fine. They made me a trainer. I was there for, I think, like almost 8 months, something like that. And everything was fine. Looked the same every single day, right? So after I left there and I went back to Disney and I went to Magic Kingdom on Main Street. Now, we can understand Magic Kingdom probably has a completely different set of rules, a little more strict. But it's still Walt Disney World's look guidelines. It's the Disney look. They're supposed to be consistent. That's the whole point. I use the same exact attachment, and I'm pulled into the office three different times for the length of my beard, which in this day and age of people even just showing up for work or doing a good job, being pulled into the office three different times for the length of your beard, where I'm going with this shows how invested they are in ensuring that their cast members give a consistent look to the guests mm-hmm. every time. Mm-hmm. I wasn't trying to be mean in stating this, even though at the time I was a little peeved, to say the least. But they have since changed a few of those just recently. So I just wanted to kind of read off some of these changes. Before, it used to be a half inch. They used to tell me it was an eraser tip. That they, you know, if you put a pencil and eraser tip, then your hair needed to be right around that eraser. Okay. And if you were to grow a beard, you were to never be in that stubble phase, the in-between. So if you wanted to grow a beard that was that half inch, you needed to do it on vacation, days off, if you could magically grow a beard that fast. And it needed to be in compliance when you returned to work. Since I guess now the new rules are 1 inch, you can have a beard up to 1 inch, and that it you can have the stubble phase. You can be growing it in between. The only issue I have with this, and I'm just going to say this real quick and then I'll shut up and see what your thoughts are on the Disney look as a whole, is at what point do people just say, well, I'm growing it out, and then they shave it? Well, I'm growing it out. And then they shave it. That seems like it's going to be something hard to police, this in-between stubble going into growing a beard. So what are your thoughts, first on the Disney look and then on this change?
I'm still struggling with the idea of Michael calling himself a hairy beast. I didn't hear anything after that, so you might have to go back. Like, no, I'm just joking with you. So, okay, consistency with the cast member look obviously is important. I don't know if this really changes anything, unless your specific role obviously requires you to be clean shaven on any given day. I think getting your hands on good staff, especially in Florida, especially people that will, not knocking the Disney company, because you know I defend them on many reasons, you know, raising of ticket prices and whatnot, but when you can get a good cast member that might become frustrated with your policies, who is willing to work for the wage, and this is one small accommodation, especially when you're in things like attractions or custodial or anything. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. Okay, I could overlook this. Now, here's the restriction. I have a guy at work who can grow a beard relatively quick, and the in-between phase is not an issue because he always makes sure that, like, the hair on his face, on his neck, like, it's like trimmed, you know what I mean? So it doesn't look scraggly. And by that, I mean like an even line, you know what I mean? So yeah. As long as you come across as presentable and not come across like you just rolled out of your station wagon that you slept in overnight to come to work, like, I got no issue with that. That's all good. You know, make it look good. Make sure that you come to work every day, like, feeling and looking like you should be the person in charge in any given day in your role. I'm good, you know, no big deal.
Yeah, and I, like I said, I always understood, because it's their rules, it's their policies. I also understood, I guess, to a point, that Main Street is held to a higher standard just because of the theming of that particular land itself, and Magic Kingdom being Magic Kingdom. But I always found it funny, and to this day I still do, that the same razor attachment is good for one area at Walt Disney World, but not another.
All right, so hang on, Captain Caveman, I got to ask you a question here. So yeah. Why did it take you three times? Like, after the first time, why didn't you just adjust it and be like, all right, well, I got to trim this down? You must have just been upset and being like, nope, I'm just going to do it my way. What was the thought process?
No, because I kept thinking, well, maybe I hadn't shaved for a couple days. I don't understand. So then I made sure that every single day I went in, I used that same attachment. But then that wasn't right. Eventually, I had to shave the whole thing, which is in some pictures that I showed where I had completely clean-shaven face.
Oh, yeah,
which makes
face.
Me look like, yeah. Yeah, made me look like well,
Baby Huey.
Say
Baby Huey.
The guy from Austin Powers that I'm not going to mention his name, but that's who I look like. All right, moving on.
Gotcha.
Here's another quick hitter. We'll go big to little. The McDonald's by All-Star Sports closed on October 30th for refurbishment. It's set to reopen in 2020 at some point. You might ask, why is this a story? Well, for some folks who may be staying at All-Star Sports, that was a viable dining option. So if that's not an option anymore, they need to plan for something else. So that's why I mention it.
Yeah, no, it's a story. It's a story for people who might go down with athletic teams or bands, you know, where you block that book that block of 15 rooms, and that becomes a very realistic option for you. So it's a story. I don't know if the majority of the Disney public goes there or, in fact, even knows it's there, you know, because you got to really be staying at the All-Stars to know that it's there. But, yeah, it's a valid story for sure. I'm sure they get a lot of traffic from the All-Stars, and, frankly, it's close. It's visible, you know, off of if you're staying at, like, Animal Kingdom Lodge and you're traveling towards the Springs or traveling towards the Wide World of Sports. You know what I'm saying? It's visible.
Yeah.
So, but if you're staying at Grand Floridian, Contemporary, Saratoga, Old Key West, you might not even know it's there. But definitely a story.
Yeah, if you happen to get lost, your monocle falls off, you can't tell where you're pulling into.
Where am I? What is this?
Where am I?
What is this? These people. what was the last time you ate at McDonald's, Michael?
Well, I had a McRib about a week ago, so the McRib's back, and when that happens, it's trouble.
That was a Chris favorite back when I was, the McRib.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what, back when I was, I remember, manager with Walmart, I would eat two of those a day for lunch during its...
Sweet Jesus.
I know. It's no wonder I look how I do. We've got to fix this.
All right, rank these McDonald's sandwiches, because you know I love to put people out and ask these questions. Rank these sandwiches. The Big Mac, the Quarter Pounder with Cheese, the Egg McMuffin, and the McRib.
Okay, McRib is by far the best.
Okay.
I love the McRib. Then I would probably go Big Mac, but without lettuce.
Why is that?
Because why put anything healthy on there? No, it's just a mess.
Okay.
If it wasn't shredded, I would have a little bit. It just falls everywhere when you try to eat it. And you already have enough trouble with the sauce oozing out on. Yeah, okay. Then the Quarter Pounder, then the Egg McMuffin.
Ooh, Egg McMuffin last place. Why is that? No egg? No good?
No, I'm not so much a breakfast person.
Gotcha. Michael still pines for the McDLT. Bring back the McDLT, right?
Yeah.
The hot stays hot and the cool stays cool. Here we go. All right, next story. What's up?
Next, let's talk about the Disney Villains After Hours returning.
Okay.
Very popular event this past year, and they're bringing it back. And, of course, I don't have – there it is. All right. I wanted to make sure I had it up. So it's going to take place in 2020 for 24 select nights. So that's 14 more nights than this year, apparently, running from February 7th through July 10th.
Okay.
So the Disney Villains After Hours, it brings you things like Villains Unite the Night stage show. And this is all after the park closes, of course, at Magic Kingdom. You can spot Maleficent the Dragon wandering around the park, apparently. I've never been to one of these. They seem very interesting to me. Dance the Night Away at Cinderella Castle four-court stage, where there's a DJ and stuff like that. There are villain-inspired additions to Pirates of the Caribbean and Space Mountain. Eat and drink wickedly good food and beverage. A variety of specialty food and beverage offerings will be available for purchase. This one cracks me up. I'm sorry. This always cracks me up. You can have the right to purchase exclusive merchandise while you're there. So they are giving you the ability to give them money for exclusive merchandise during the Disney Villains merchandise or party here.
Gotcha.
And then enjoy low wait times at more than 25 attractions, which I think is probably really the kicker. 25 attractions and experiences after the park closes to day guests. Now, tickets for this after hours can be purchased for $145 plus tax ahead of time, or $155 plus tax on event night. There are annual pass holder and Disney DVC discounts of $30. So you're talking $115 if you're in those groups for the after hours. What do you think? I mean, I think we've discussed this event before, and I know we constantly kind of talk about these events. What are your thoughts on this one? Is it something you would be interested in, and what would be interesting to you?
So in order to provide context for this, we're going to jump ahead for a show that we've recorded. And I want to give just a little bit of a teaser for a future show. And, you know, Tamara's a good friend, and she went on a trip with her mother and her daughter, and met up with Pete, and met up with, she was down there with her friends. And she had a great trip, but she pointed out three things that she was very unhappy with. And Tamara's a really positive person. One of them, and this is going to get a little bit into the show, is going to be the overall experience of Mickey's Not So Scary. Mm-hmm. So I'll leave that for the show. But I asked her this question, and we've talked about this before. For these hard-ticketed events, if the main gripe, so to speak, is the size of people and the wait time, would you pay more to have less people in the park? So I believe she spent around $100 per person, so it's $300 for her daughter, and her mom. Would she pay 50% more? Would she pay 100% more to have the park less crowded? And it sounds like that was the ticketed attempt here. Now, the factor for that was they also sell the annual pass, like Halloween party pass, where you can go to every party that you want for a couple $100. Did that inflate the park's capacity? So that's really the question for this. Does it sound like something? Yeah. You know what? If you're going in an off-peak time, you can't get to Mickey's Not So Scary, but you like the villains. Everyone seems to really like the villains. For sure. You know, I would be interested in seeing this, but I would do it based upon the fact that I know I could get on two attractions. She stated that there was never a wait any less than like 35 minutes for Space Mountain. Well, if you're going for this hard-ticketed event and it costs you $100 per person, like, I'm expecting, not that I'm like a Disney snob at all, I'm expecting like 15 minutes, 20 minutes tops for any attraction there, and to feel like the park is a little more exclusive. If you feel like the park's crowded, then it's not worth it, you know? And yeah, villains, great. You know, they're the most, arguably, the villains crew is more popular than the princesses and the heroes. You know, I think when you mention the word villains, heck, I bought a painting upstairs for for $400 plus because it was the villains. If it was a princess or the heroes, I don't know if I would even bat an eyeball at it. You know, it wouldn't have even maybe entered the... I probably would have because of the charity, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You won't even park in the heroes lot when you go to Magic Kingdom.
No.
You'll be like, I'm waiting.
Heck no.
Until the villains opens.
You know what? I'll park there, and I'm going to park right next to your driver's side door just to be a villain in the heroes parking lot. I'm going to do it just like that. I might back the car into the parking space just to make sure I'm different. Anyways, I think they've caught on with something here, and they know that the villains are super popular and the hard ticket events are selling out consistently. And I think, you know, they really didn't give you anything here, and not knocking the Disney company. Yes, they're bringing all the villains for a dance party and for like a tiny like theatrical production in front of the castle. So outside of that, there's some merchandise, which people love. There's ride. I mean, it's a good hard ticketed event if you're in for that kind of thing. Would I go? Now, for me, remember, it's $500, right? Yeah. Because and the funky music in the background, it's $500.
Yes.
It's $500 for me. Would I go? You know, I've got to buy tickets. I don't have an annual pass. I just might convince myself on any one given day to go and spend the money and get into the park at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock or whenever they let you in as early as they can, you know?
7.
Yeah, but is it 7 o'clock? Is that really 7 o'clock?
That's what it says. It says 7.
Because Mickey's...
That's when they allow you to start coming in, is at 7 p.m.
Okay.
Which will give you time to enjoy fireworks before heading off to the attractions.
Well, in Mickey's Not So Scary and Mickey's Very Merry, you could enter the park earlier than that correct?
Well, they say that. Yeah, they say that, though. They say that you can enter that at 4. Mm. So this one doesn't start until, what, probably 10? So that's probably a 3-hour advanced in.
Okay.
Which, my feeling on this one, I am more apt to be able to overlook this particular, the after-hours events, more so than the extremely crazy amount of Halloween and Christmas parties that they have. For one reason, this does not affect the day guest as much. I'm sure there is a little bit of an effect, but...
Because of the 7 o'clock start time?
Because of that, I think the day guest is going to lose a little bit of that time that they probably could have gotten on attractions that were a little lighter when the kids left, like, you know, the 8, 9 p.m.s to be able to grab some of those last-second rides on. I think that will affect it a little, mm-hmm. but... When it comes down to it, when you have a Mickey's Not So Scary and you have a Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, those days, they're closing Magic Kingdom early. They're closing at like 5 o'clock. So your day guest has now lost, what, 4 to 5 hours of their ticket so that Disney could charge more people to come in and do an event. These are after hours, so I've never really had a problem with the after hours ones. I don't understand them personally. I wouldn't do it. Pretty much I can't stay up that late, so it doesn't appeal to me. But it doesn't bother me as much. I think they should limit the amount of Very Merry and Halloween, Mickey's Halloween parties, because I think that is... I don't know if you saw this, but just it was when Tamara was here. There was a night that hit capacity at Magic Kingdom in October. And the reason that it's hitting capacity at Magic Kingdom in October is because that's probably the only one of two nights that people could go to Magic Kingdom where it wasn't a party. So, yeah, that funnels every single person that doesn't have the funds or maybe doesn't want to go to a Halloween party, wants to see the regular attractions at Magic Kingdom at night, that forces them to go one or two nights a week. So they're all going at the same time.
Well, so future show discussion as well, too, where we talked about how they can't cap these parties and they have to raise the ticket price. And that's exactly why the Walt Disney Company has gone to the dynamic pricing, you know, with as far as seasons for tickets. And don't think for one second that next year, those nights in October, those won't be considered like premier season, because they know. And you know what? As much as we want to gripe about it as people and say, oh, that's not right, as a business and as a business owner, I would do the exact same thing. I would figure it out. It's unpopular, but yeah, I mean, that ticket price for that night going forward, if you reach capacity in October, that should become a much more expensive price. Is uncomfortable as that sounds. People are like, oh, that Chris is just a, you know. No, it's the truth. It's smart business. Everyone would do the same. You would do the same no matter what business you had. It makes sense.
Yeah, and it's a catch-22 because I'm saying that we should limit the amount of people at the Halloween parties so that people can enjoy themselves, mm-hmm. but I'm saying they should have less of them. So it seems counterproductive there, but there's got to be some way, and I think you're right, probably raising the price is the only way so that people getting in are ones who truly made this a priority and it's something they really, really want to do.
Now, if you're sitting back and you're like, wait a minute, hang on, I can't afford that. Think about it, though. If you're willing to spend just the ticket price to get into the Magic Kingdom, so just rough numbers here. I apologize if I'm wrong. Rough numbers. You got a family of, let's just say a family of three people. Magic Kingdom, one-day ticket, it's like $1.50. So you're spending $4.50 to get into the park. You're going to get in at 9, maybe 10, and you're going to have to leave by 7. And you're going to have to fight the crowd for that 9-hour period, right? You're going to have to...
During the
heat. Or you spend a very similar cost, almost identical, for that night to get in at 7 o'clock and stay until midnight or 1 or however late it's going to be open that night. So it's 5 to 6 hours. But think of the quality of time. It's not the amount of time. Think of the quality of time. If they're telling you that it's the same price and then that makes you balk, but you get on for the mine train in 20 minutes and standby, you know, which is the fastest you're ever going to do with FastPass, think about that. You know, using your time wisely on vacation, realigning your dollars, like, okay, I get it. Like, that would push me over the top. If you could tell me, now I've got kids that are older, 14, 14, and 7, and it might be difficult to get the 7 to roll after like 11, 11:30, but if like that was part of the day and you intentionally slept later that morning and you went to the pool and you had a relaxing pool day and you kind of built the excitement through the day, like kind of a cool realignment and reallotment of your money, you know? And Disney loves it because they're getting double take. You get the morning money and you get the evening money, and you're really only open for like 3 hours on the back end additional to what would be a normal day. You know, it's you know, okay. Do it.
Yeah, I completely understand. I mean, I can see that as well. And I don't want to get started. I will mention just quickly that I don't understand the where they were giving people the Halloween pass to go to every single part where you could purchase that. I don't get that. To me, that seems completely ridiculous. I don't know what their point in that was. I don't know how much more they could have possibly gotten from that transaction. Anyway, I'm sure that it was, if it did work and it did work in their benefit, we'll see it again next year or for the Christmas party. But if not, then obviously it didn't work, but I don't understand that one. Anyway, you know what? I think I'm good with those stories. Did you have anything else? I know we're running a little low.
No. It's okay. I want to talk about one or two more if you got time here. And you mentioned them earlier. Let's hit the Primeval World.
Okay, the Primeval World is set to reopen for seasonal operation just during Thanksgiving week, November 24th through December 1st. Around September, they announced that Primeval World would be closed basically and used seasonally for capacity and during busy weeks, which would lead me to think that it would probably be open during Christmas week as well, between Christmas and New Year's, things like that. Now, there was another attraction. Do you remember the other attraction that did this little experiment where they... Stitch, exactly. And Stitch hasn't been open since, I think, 2018. Not even seasonally. So I think maybe the writing's on the wall for Stitch, and I think the writing's on the wall for Primeval World. And I personally, and I'm going to inject some opinion here, I don't get that whole area of Animal Kingdom. I don't understand the cookie-cutter Primeval World mouse, you know, coaster at Disney to begin with. So I am completely anti that area. I don't like the games. I don't like any of the whole thing. So you can get me on record. If in the future I say, oh, I love that whole Dino Land USA, no, I'm completely anti Dino Land USA. What are your thoughts?
Okay, so we'll make this short. So I don't like how the area fits in Animal Kingdom, though I think cohesively it actually does work together really well, but I don't think it actually fits where it fits. That Wild Mouse coaster, we have one up by us here at our theme park, and I like the coaster. I think it's fun. So, but when you start closing it seasonally, that's never a good thing. That can only lead to one thing. They're either looking for space or to improve the attraction. I don't necessarily think, though, that in terms of Animal Kingdom, it was like the best effort. But I think if you put all those games and Triceratops Spin and Primeval World together, I do think it actually makes a relatively good area combined with the Boneyard and like the dinosaur attraction. But when you talk about seasonal closures, yeah, not good. It's getting towards the end of its line, you know, in usefulness. So I don't know if there'd be a Twitter movement or Facebook movement of like save
Primeval World,
but I actually like the ride. I'm cool with it.
I also wonder, I mean, it's obviously getting up there in age. I remember I went to Busch Gardens Williamsburg. They have one like that as well, and it's closed a lot. And I wonder if maintenance on that particular type of coaster is difficult. I mean, everybody has one. I wouldn't think so, you know, because if that was the case, I would think less theme parks would opt for that sort of attraction. But when you go talking about seasonal operation, I wonder if it's something to where the maintenance on it is just, it's wearing down, so they're trying to get the last little bit of it they can, but they know it can't undertake the day in, day out running that, you know, that it normally would do if it was open.
Possibility, but every park, like you say, has got one. Cedar Point's had one that's been running for 50 years, you know, the Wild Mouse Coaster. So you would know what the expected lifespan would be and the maintenance costs of this when you purchase that attraction, you know?
But, yeah.
And then one last goofy story. You mentioned something. Let's talk about this goofy story, would you?
Okay, I'm gonna tread into this lightly because it does involve you know, a child, and I just want to go into it, letting people know first of all, I'm not taking this lightly or making lightly of the story itself. What I'm trying to get to is something on the other side of the story. So I'll let you know the story first. Is that apparently in 2018 on a Disney cruise in Colombia, a little boy was bit or attacked or something, I don't know the terminology, by an anteater. Okay, and this was in like a conservatory situation, but for some reason the anteater didn't like his demeanor and, you know, attacked the child.
Hey, God, okay, wait a minute, the anteater didn't look at this kid and be like, are you looking at me? Are you looking at me? Are you
looking at me?
You looking at me? All right, go ahead.
Anyway, he got treated on the ship once getting back on board. Well, apparently he contracted some sort of bacteria or some sort of infection due to this. Well, the family is suing Disney for, I think it was $15,000 and something for not basically, and that's not much, $15,000. Obviously, they're just out to regain the medical costs, which is bravo to them. That's all I can say there. But basically bringing to light that they did not care properly to diagnose the situation or to care for the child once he got back on the ship. Now, that's the story. What the reason I'm mentioning this is because in this day and age, I think we can all stand to be a little more polite to each other, because I started reading the comments, which you probably should never do, but I wanted to see how people were reacting to this story. And there are two sides. There's this. Can you guess what the two sides are?
Yes. The first side is, oh my gosh, I can't believe Disney made a mistake here and the family is in the right. And the second side says, are you crazy, people? What is wrong with you? You know, so that's, yeah, that's my view.
Pretty much. Yeah, that's exactly what it was. It was the one side saying Disney needs to understand that they need to protect the people that are on their excursions or in their parks, and just kind of just going flying off the handle. The other side said, why was the kid that close? I bet the parents weren't even watching the kid. The kid shouldn't have been that close to the anteater. They won't do that unless they're provoked. All this stuff. Well, then that starts, once you have the two sides going at it, just going back and forth, and it ends up going into complete extremes. We throw political affiliations in. We throw in, I don't know, your mama jokes. We go complete to the extreme.
There is no your mama jokes in there.
Well, okay, I might have made that up.
Your mama's so fat that this ain't. No, come on now. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. All right. So where did you find this? Was this on Twitter that you found most of these comments, or where was the comments for this?
No, the comments were on this particular story was on WDW News Today,
okay,
where they talked about the story. So this is their audience commenting on this site.
Okay. You're right. Kudos to the family. You know what? We spent medical costs, but realize it's called medical practice. It's not medical perfect. So even when you treat an infection at the best hospitals, sometimes it doesn't go the way you think it's going to go. So were they looking for absolute guarantees that this was going to heal and not have an infection? These things happen. I understand that. So on a social basis, so was it covered out of their pocket? Was it covered by insurance? I don't know. So there's got to be some kind of compensation, because you know, $15,000, even though it's a low amount of money, it still is a substantial sum of money for these things. Were the parents involved? I don't know. Were the kid too close? Was the anteater like a rogue, like the bully anteater, just walking around picking fights? I don't know.
He's having a bad day.
He's having a bad day. I don't like kids. But anyways,
Well, the whole point, like I'm trying to say, is, gosh, if I could just convince one person to stop doing that, crying out loud, I don't understand putting all of that negativity out there.
You know what I'm really enjoying, though? I'm enjoying the rogue anteater just walking around biting people. You know, so it shows a difference of parenting. So my kids are getting bit by an anteater. I would look at my son and be like, good, you deserved it. What'd you do to the anteater? And here, you know, I'm sorry. That's just inappropriate. But.
I know. And it is, like we said, we're not making light of it because, man, I'd hate to, after the story, because I don't have all the facts. I don't know the people themselves. But I imagine if something horrible would have happened to the child, the number would have been a lot higher than 15,000. So, we're not making light of that situation.
Everything you do has risk. Sometimes unfortunate things happen. Figure it out. Move on. And I gotta know, did that anteater have a name? Was it like Brutus, or was it like? Like Bone Smasher as he walked around. I'm interested.
I don't think he has a name now, but I will say that he could probably go on a podcast here in a little while and talk about his extreme fear of anteaters.
# free the anteater. All right, very good. Anything else to talk about today, buddy?
No, I think that covers it, and I'm sorry for all of you who listened this long. We tried.
We came across with some sarcasm and snark by accident today. I don't know. We will try and do better next time. We hope we informed and educated you on the fuel rods, beignets, the primeval world, the after hours villains party, Mickey D's, and the changes to the Disney look. So if you want to reach out to us, Michael's, of course, got a YouTube channel called Theme Park Brothers, at Theme Park Boys on Twitter, Theme Park Brothers on Facebook. And we are at the WDW Review on Facebook. Let us know. And you know what? We wanted to make sure we brought some content to you guys on Friday for the Disney news. When the big stories hit, we'll get those as well, too. So for my buddy Michael and for myself, I'd like to thank you and have a great day.
Catch you on the flippity-flop.